Morning. Good to see everyone this morning. If you will, please turn your song books to 523.
I'd like to stay here longer than man's allotted day and watch the fleeting changes of life's uneven ways. But if my Savior calls me to that sweet home on high, I'll live with Him forever.
Heavenly Father, we come here this morning assembling together to praise Thee as our Creator and our God. So thankful this morning for our lives that You spared them, the many blessings that You bless us with each day. We pray, Father, that You'd be with those that we know that aren't here and able to be here, that You'd be with them, that You know the best for them, that they might heal, and they might, the things that are keeping them from assembling with us, that they might be taken out of the way, that they would meet with us again, that their health would improve, or the problems that they have. So thankful for Your love, Father, and the love of Christ, that He was willing to suffer and die on that cross for our sins. So thankful for the church that You had planned, Father. We pray that we might all work together as one here for Your glory and honor. We might be able to reach out to our families, our friends, neighbors, that they might be willing to open their hearts and listen to Your gospel. And we pray, Father, that You be with us. We know many times we fall short of the things that we should do, Father, and do sin. Help us, Father, to not sin, and that we might seek after Your holiness, Father, to continue to grow as Christians in our lives. And we're so thankful for the hope that we have in our hearts, Father, that someday that we can be with Thee in that eternal home of heaven that You have planned for us, that the things of this world that are difficult to endure will be over, all the pain and the suffering that goes on. We'll be eternally with You in that heavenly home. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated.
Please turn to 490. Good to see Dave Hall back with us. He's been through a lot. We'll remember him in your prayers, please. And keep Rosie in your prayers. First, second, and last verse. 490.
To Canaan's land I'm on my way, where the soul never
Bibles to Romans, the 8th chapter. Romans chapter 8. Use this as our scripture reading for this morning. Beginning at verse 37. Yet in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ our Lord. Good to be with you this morning. I'm glad that each and every one of you are able to be here. We would ask and pray that as we go through the lesson this morning, that something that we bring out here will be of benefit to strengthen, to encourage you as we go through our walk of everyday life. You see the title, Checkmate. Checkmate. It comes from this painting. Now, the painting was once on display in the French Museum, the Louvre. It was by French artist Frederick Mortiste Auguste Retschy, and it was called Checkmate. Now it's said to be in private hands. It was sold by Christie, supposedly back in 1999. Now, chess, as you know, is a little different from checkers in the fact that checkers does have very limited movement. With chess, your pieces have much different movements available to them. Not only side to side or front to back, but corner to corner, up two, over one, up one and over two. You can even do what they call a castle, where you move the king and move the castle at certain places. So all kinds of things can be done. But the most important part of the game of chess, and the goal of it, is of course to capture the king. Capture the opponent's king. Now, the painting here depicts a being on the left, as you look at it, is representing the devil. The man on the right, or a man is on the right, they are playing for the man's soul. By the appearance in the picture, all is lost. The man believes that he is about to lose his soul. The story goes that while on display, a chess master heard about the picture and came in to look at it. As he was viewing the painting, he asked the curator for a chessboard and some pieces. Now, he set them up according to the picture, and after studying the pieces, he announced that the title did not fit the picture. In fact, the man had one more move to make with his king, and that would allow him to win and thus keep his soul. Of course, we know that we cannot keep or lose our souls depending upon a chess game. But how many people in the game of life give up when when all seems lost, when yet one last move can be made? We're going to look at four different people and how things were done for each of these people. These people, in most cases, believed checkmate was there. It was done. There was nothing else they could do. And yet they found there was one last hope, one last move. The match We're going to find that over in Mark chapter 5. So if you'll turn your Bibles there to the 5th chapter of the book of Mark. The match is the woman who has the issue of blood. She has a situation in her life in which the flow of blood that her body produces is continuous. It doesn't stop. Now, there's one thing I think we need to bring out and point to this real quick. This woman had many problems from this. But one of the things that she had to deal with would be found over in Leviticus, the 15th chapter. We're not going to turn there, but I will tell you what it talks about. Because of this woman's flow of blood, she was not allowed to go to the temple to offer sacrifices. She was not allowed to go to the temple to worship the Lord God. She would be restricted. And for all the years of her life that this had occurred, were we living under Jewish times, she would not be allowed to come into the assembly here and be with us. So let's look on Mark chapter 5, beginning at verse 25, tells us concerning this. Now a certain woman had an issue of blood for 12 years. 12 years she had been dealing with this. And she had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had, and she was no better, but rather she grew worse. No better. She had gone to this doctor, that doctor, this specialist, that specialist. And nobody was able to figure out what the problem was. No one was able to give her a cure. How many times do we feel like that within our own lives sometimes today? But in this woman's case, it says that she had spent all that she had, was no better but grew worse. And when she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd. What had she heard? He can heal. He can take people who have illnesses and she can heal them. And she said, and the scripture says, she came and she touched his garment. For she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. All she wanted to do was to reach and touch him. Now you see, we don't think a whole lot about this, but technically, she wasn't even allowed to be in this group of people because everybody that she became in contact with became unclean. Everybody that she came in contact with would not be able to go worship. They wouldn't be allowed to function. She goes up and she says, I don't want to draw a lot of attention. All I want to go up is touch the hem of his garment. And she went up, and as you can see illustrated by the picture, there she is trying just to reach just the bottom part of it, perhaps. And immediately, the minute she touched it, touched his garment, her flow of blood ceased. It was gone. It says it dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that the power had gone out, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched me? Who touched me? The disciples said, Master, you see the multitude thronging about you and you say, who touched me? He looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. She was at the end. Who knows what thoughts might have been running through her mind as she would go from day to day, not being able to have this problem solved. She had one last move, she thought, and that is to touch Christ. Her last move, the last move, was to touch Christ. And Christ proclaims, "Checkmate! Your problem is solved. The issue of your body is taken care of. The pain, the agony, the torment that you were in is no longer there." The woman was healed both physically and community-wise. She can now go and be amongst people without a fear. She can now go to worship the Lord, her God, because Christ had checkmated the problem that was in her life. The match? Well, the match is the woman has been caught in adultery. Let's go over to John, the 8th chapter. We'll begin there at verse 1 of John chapter 8. Jesus went from the Mount of Olives, had gone to the Mount of Olives, but early the next morning, he again came into the temple, and the people came to him, and he sat down, and he taught them. The scribes and the Pharisees brought to him a woman who had been caught in adultery. When they had set her in the midst, they said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act. Now, Moses in the law commanded us that such a one should be stoned. What do you say?" This they said, testing him, that they might have something of which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down, wrote on the ground in his finger, as though he did not hear them. And when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and he said, "He who is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone." And then again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And those that heard what he had said, when convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning the oldest even to the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman was standing with him. And when Jesus raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, Woman, where are your accusers?" She says, "No one is here to condemn me." And she said, "No one's here, Lord." And Jesus said to her, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." The woman was caught in the act of adultery. Now, there's some problems here as we go down through these scriptures. Adultery, it says she was caught in the very act. That meant that there had to be two involved. Where's the other person? Where's the man? He should have been brought right along with her, so he could have also been stoned. Did he escape? We don't know. We don't know why he wasn't brought, but he wasn't. But that doesn't stop the fact of what she had done. Now they looked at Jesus and they said, "She's supposed to be stoned according to the law of Moses. Do you give us the permission to do that?" That's basically all they're saying. And Jesus did something that sometimes we all do, maybe not to this extent. It says, he knelt down and he kind of scribbled in the ground as if he hadn't heard him. Now, we've all done that latter part where somebody said something and we acted as if we didn't hear him. But he's down here scribbling around and they keep asking. And he looks up at him and says, "Okay, whichever one of you here has never sinned, you throw the first stone." And it said he went back down and he started scribbling again. And the scripture says, as they heard this, they were convicted in their own heart by their own conscience. And they began to leave from the oldest to the youngest. Why the oldest? Because the oldest probably had the most sins in their life. And perhaps the oldest was, in some cases, maybe willing to be a little bit more honest with themselves. Yep, I've committed sins. I haven't committed that one, but I've committed sins. Others might have even said, yes, I committed that sin. They didn't catch me. I can't condemn her either. We don't know why they left, but we know they left because they had sin in their lives. From the oldest to the youngest. Now, she had a chance now to get up and leave, run away. But her last move in this match is to stay. Her last move is to not leave. And Jesus, it says, looked up and says, "Where are your accusers?" She says, "There's no one here, Lord." And Jesus looks at her and says, "Neither do I condemn you. Checkmate." And he said, "Go and sin no more. Go and sin no more." He had checkmated the devil in what the devil wanted to do. We're going to go to one we talked about this morning in Bible class, to the thief on the cross. So if you will, turn over to Luke chapter 23. Talked a little bit about him and the other fella that was on the cross. We looked at it this morning out of the book of Mark. We're going to be here in Luke this morning. The match is one thief. One thief. So if you will, we'll beginning at verse 39 of Luke 23. One of the criminals who was hanging beside Jesus says, "If you're the Christ, save yourself and us." And the other, answering him, rebuked him. He says, "Do you not even fear God?" He rebuked the other thief. One thief rebuking another thief. He said, "Don't you fear God? Seeing you are under the same condemnation, we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he looks at Jesus and he says, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said, "Surely I say to you today, you will be with me in paradise." Today you will be with me in paradise. Checkmate. Checkmate. The thief on the cross. One thief didn't want salvation. The other thief did, and he asked for it. Now, let's remember, this is Old Testament. This is not New Testament. This is not Acts chapter 2 and beyond, where baptism was required. And Jesus, being the Master, the Son of God, the author of our salvation, looked at the gentleman that said, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom," and he said, "I will remember you, and you're going to be with me in paradise." Jesus knew what was in that man's heart. He knew the way he felt. He knew what he believed. We can see what the man believed. What did he say? He told the other thief, he says, what are you talking about? We're up here because we deserve it. He doesn't. Jesus doesn't deserve to be here, but he is. And he looked at him and he knew enough about Christ. He knew enough of the old law to ask forgiveness from God, from the Son of God himself. And Jesus looked at him and he said, checkmate. You're going to be with me in paradise. The match, it's the end of Christ's life. Christ's last move is to allow himself to be betrayed and crucified. Now we can find all those passages dealing with his crucifixion on the cross in Matthew 28, Mark 16, Luke 24, and John 20. But in John the 19th chapter, verse 30, Jesus, while on the cross, says these words. These are two of seven sayings that I have up here. He says, it is finished. And in Luke 23, 46, he says, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And on the cross, he's died and he's buried. And Satan is just jumping up and down. I've got him. I've got him. He's dead. We're going to put him in the ground. There's nothing else can be done. I have killed the Son of God. And 3 days later, God sends the angel down from heaven, rolls away the stone, and shouts, checkmate! Checkmate! There's nothing Satan can do about it. There's nothing he can do about it. Christ's resurrection from the dead was checkmate for all mankind, for all of those who are willing to follow and believe. Romans 8, as we had read earlier, says that when we are obedient to God, Christ, nothing shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. When we are obedient, but when we're not obedient, then the exact opposite would happen. When we are not obedient, we separate ourselves from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ our Lord. And how do we become obedient? Acts chapter 2, verses 36 through 38 tells us we need to repent and be baptized. The apostle Peter was asked, and when they shouted, the crowd shouted, men and brethren, what shall we do? Repent and be baptized. Mark 16, 16, Jesus himself says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Not just believes, because now we're living under New Testament law, not Old Testament law. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. So what's that say? Well, let's turn it around. If you don't believe, you're not going to be saved. You might even be baptized, but you may have all done it for the wrong reasons. You did it because of pressure from mom and dad, because the other kids at church were becoming baptized. But if there's no belief involved, baptism is no good. Now, Jesus says, he that believeth, and the conjunction there ties the two together, and is baptized, shall be saved. And Romans chapter 6, verse 4 says that we should, after our baptism, we arise to walk in a new way of life. Newness of life. And that is obedience. And that provides checkmate. God has won the match on our behalf. We just need to make the final move. And that final move is obedience. That final move is what allows us to be saved. This morning, are you saved? Have you made the move to be saved? Have you put Jesus Christ on as your Lord and Savior in baptism? If you haven't, then you're not saved, and the checkmate is not yours. Perhaps you have, and for whatever reason, you're not as faithful to the Lord as you should be. Well, the checkmate isn't yours either then. But God, when you ask for forgiveness and begin to obey again, will allow that checkmate to once again come into your life. So this morning, as we offer the invitation, if there is anyone that needs to respond, we ask that you come as together we stand and sing.
All things are ready. Come to the feast. Come, for the table now is spread. Ye famishing, ye weary, come, and thou shalt be richly fed. Is the invitation, come whosoever will, praise God for full salvation, for whosoever will. All things are ready, come to the feast, come, for the door is open wide.
Fine lesson again this morning. Appreciate it. Please turn to 432. We prepare our minds to take communion. Sing this song.
Jesus, keep me near the cross.
Shall We come and surround this table up on the first day of the week in remembrance of what Christ did for us upon the cross. Like we've been studying in our Bible class on Sunday mornings, we've been studying from Mark. And we were talking about this morning in that class, we talked about where Christ was up on the cross and he was mocked. And we talked about when they mocked him, they said, well, he was able to save others. Why can't he save his own self? And we talked about in that class, and of course we've seen other scripture where it talked about Christ was up on the cross. Yes, he was mocked by the people who was all around him, questioning why he couldn't save his own self. But we know from studying that the reason was because he was doing what his Father wanted him to do. And we see that, you know, from the scriptures. Like we said, we talked about that this morning in the class where we talked about that in Mark chapter 15 in verse 31. I wanted to read that to you. It says, likewise, also the chief priest mocking said among themselves with the scribes, he saved others, himself he can't save. But we know the reason why that Christ didn't save you, pull yourself off the cross. Because he knew that was the plan to be able to save us. And he knew if he did go off of the cross and save his own self, he wouldn't be able to save us. And he knew that. That's what the plan was from God's plan. Also over in Acts, we study where it talks about Acts chapter 20 in verse 7. We study there, it says, upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. You know, we see, and that's right there where it was told, upon the first day of the week, that we're to come and partake the Lord's Supper. And, of course, we're to, you know, the bread that represents what we have this morning, the bread represents Christ's body. And the fruit of the vine represents the blood that he shed upon the cross. I'd like to turn over to now to Luke. Turn over to Luke chapter 22 and start with verse 14 and read through 20. That's Luke 22. Verse 14 through 20. And when the hour was come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat of therefore until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this, and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread, and gave thanks, and broke it, and gave unto them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup, after supper, saying, this is the cup, is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. You know, we see what the plan was that God had for Christ. You know, when Christ went to the cross, he went there for us. And he ended up, he died there for us upon the cross. But also, too, the scriptures tell us what we're to do upon the first day of the week. We're to do this every week upon the first day. Let's go to God in prayer and we'll give thanks for the bread. Our Father in heaven, we'd like to thank you for letting us be able to come here this morning and be with us as we partake of the bread that represents Christ's body that was taken up on the cross. Bless it for an intended purpose. All this in Jesus' name. Amen. Also, we have the fruit of the vine. Let's go to God in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we continue our thanks of giving thanks for the fruit of the vine that represents Christ's body and blood that he shed upon the cross. Bless us for the intended purpose. All this in Jesus' name. Amen. Also, upon the first day of the week, separate and apart from partaking of the Lord's Supper is the offering. We're also, too, commanded up on the first day of the week to give back a portion of what we've been prospered for the work of the church. Let's go to God in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we continue our thanks of being able to come and especially surround this table for the remembrance of what Christ did for us upon the cross. Be with us as we prosper in what we've been prospered for, the jobs that we have and the things that we have, just we know it all came from you. Be with us as we give back what we've been prospered for the work of the church. All this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning, church. Nice to see everybody out. We've got a beautiful day again. Quite a few things here in the bulletin. Make sure you get one. A lot of things. I won't mention everything here. A lot of things going on at Pennsville and other area congregations. Unfortunately, we still have a bunch of sick people. We got to get these people well. Nice to see David here this morning. Really appreciate seeing Dave. Several things here. Now, if Brenda would see this picture right now, she would say, you shouldn't have taken your picture for, life's a zoo, it's a gorilla. So, you know, that, yeah. Norbert Park Church of Christ, they're going to have a summer series every Wednesday in August at 7 p.m. Going to have different speakers. This will be posted on the bulletin board back there. Fort Hill Christian Youth Group, the fourth annual Church Growth and Leadership Program. That's going to be August 9th and 10th with Keith Parker and Dale Jenkins. Now this is more for our congregation here. A couple things here we'd like to go over. Due to declining numbers of our church family, some of whom have various health problems, it will be necessary to change how we are able to provide our funeral meals. Please let one of the elders or Marcia know if you would like a funeral meal prepared. We all realize that this is a very difficult time when there is a death, and we want to do everything we possibly can to provide a meal. We will do the best we can in providing a funeral meal, considering that our congregation is small. Also, we will be revising our church directory. Marsh will be working on this. If anyone wants to help to put it together, please let Marsha know. And on this reason, subject, as we know, the purpose of the new directory is to be able to contact one another and hopefully to bring us closer together. Please change any information that is incorrect. Please include the following if you wish to have it in the new directory. Name, month and day only, not the year of your birthday, and your anniversary. Phone numbers, landline, or cell phones, email address, mailing address. Now, on the birthdays, the son-in-laws tell Brenda she's older than dirt, but I don't think she's quite that old yet. But that's a whole different story. Jim has a bunch of those papers back there, and we'll be passing them out. Just take a few seconds, change anything that's wrong. There's some clipboards back there in the back pew, or in the foyer on the pew back there. There's some pins around. Just do what you need to do to fix anything in that directory so we have all the correct information. Is there anything else that needs to be announced or should be announced? If not, let us go to God in prayer. Dear Lord, we humbly come before you. We thank you for this opportunity we've had this morning to come together, hear your word proclaimed, sing songs of praise to thee. Dear Lord, may the things we hear be well-pleasing in your sight. Be with all those who are sick and afflicted, as less fortunate we are. Those who have lost loved ones recently, comfort and strengthen them as only you can. Dear Lord, help us be better Christians, better examples. Help us always love and support one another. Dear Lord, again, we thank you for your Son. Please forgive us of our sins. In Jesus' name we pray, and amen.